kindergarten through sixth grade, you all are dismissed for children's church. All right. Well, good morning again to Ledrock. It truly warms my heart to see so many of you here, just physically here, filling in all the different odd pews that we haven't been able to use for the last year and a couple of months. It's cool just to, well, just to be together. So glad you're here. Thank you. And again, welcome to Ledrock Community Church. For those of you that have been here for a while, you've heard me share over and over and over some of my favorite foods, some of my favorite beverages, namely coffee, some of my favorite movies, favorite songs. We've talked a lot about me over the last, well, year and a half as I've gotten to know you and hopefully as you've gotten to know me. I shared quite a bit about my love for coffee, appreciation of not like Folgers, I'm talking actual coffee, good coffee, appreciation of fine coffee, in fact. And I've also been very open that I was willing to pastor this church simply for Red Cabin custard gift certificates. Such is my deep appreciation for frozen custard. Wow, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for coffee and custard. Two of my favorite things, and there's lots of other things as well, but two of my favorite things. And if you think about a delicious cup of coffee as you sip on it and it cools off and gets down to the last drop, and you think about what's better than a cup of coffee? A full cup of coffee, a second cup of coffee that's absolutely full. When you're taking that last bite of custard and your little dish that you just paid a lot of money for is gone, you're dreaming about the next full cup of custard. Full is a good word. I like the word full. Full conjures up images of contentment. Of peace. Full conjures up images of satisfaction. I like the word full. Just think with me for a minute about the word full. Think of a full tank of gas. I know someone in our church family that loaned one of their children a vehicle, and when they gave them their vehicle, it was full of gas. And when the child swapped vehicles, of course, theirs was out of gas. Think of a full tank of gas. Think of a full wood pile. Does it bring some peace and contentment and some, Bob Bolton's like, yeah, I know what you mean. Bob's got 2 years worth of wood cut and split. Think of a full bank account. Maybe there is no such thing. Is there a full or can it always just be fuller? Think of a full tummy. Especially you parents with little ones, when your kids are hungry, that full tummy brings a sense of satisfaction, peace, and contentment. What about a full freezer? Deer hunters, you like to get a deer or two and fill that freezer for the long winter. What about you fishermen? Opening weekend yesterday, or today, you know, it's opening weekend, opening day yesterday, think about a full live well. I, for one, wouldn't know what that's like, but I've heard rumors that would be a good thing. Full. How about this? A heart full of love. Your own or someone in your family, someone around you. All these things are great. All great things. Full bank account, full tummy, full woodpile. All those are great things. But even better is a life full of faith, where faith is just bursting out of us, making us different from the very inside out. Today, we're going to do something that I normally don't do. I'm very, very particular about taking one passage of Scripture and speaking on preaching that passage of scripture, occasionally referencing others, but focusing in on a few verses very specifically. Today, we're not going to do that. I'm going to break out of the norm, and we're going to look at several different passages of scripture. And so I'm going to go ahead and just open up in prayer, and we're going to look at and explore what it's like to have a life full of faith. Join me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be here today to praise and worship you. And Father, I pray that you will take your word, that you will take this message, this idea of living full of faith, and you will speak through me this morning boldly and clearly. And Father, I ask that you would open up each of our hearts and minds to hear you, to hear your voice and to understand who you are and what you've created us to be in you. And Lord, I just ask that you will be glorified through this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church family said, amen. Amen. All right. So, I didn't bring my bottle. All right. To live a life full of faith, first thing we have to do is find faith. Have our faith actually. Thank you, sir. Mike is either causing problems or looking out for me, and I'm thankful he's looking out for me this morning. You can tell I'm holding my handheld. Another issue with the mic. We tested it this morning. Everything was working great, and so now I'm very awkwardly holding this. Please bear with me, but any which way. To be able to be full of faith, we have to first find faith. Well, Webster's defines faith as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And I really appreciated that definition, the word complete. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Born-again believers and followers of Jesus, our saving faith is complete trust and confidence in Jesus, in a risen Savior. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. And verse 1, the biblical definition of faith. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Is it that we should be full of faith? Well, Hebrews 11 also tells us, without faith, to please God, cannot please God without complete trust. Now, Ephesians 2 tells us that by grace we are saved through faith. So, according to the definition, according to Hebrews 11, we had better be able to find some faith so that we can then live full of faith. We need to find it and then live that way. Well, how is it that we can find faith? Romans chapter 10, one of my favorite chapters, one of my favorite books in Scripture. Romans 10 contains so much good stuff. We're going to be in verses 14 through 17, just to kick this whole thing off. Romans chapter 10, I'll begin in verse 14. The scripture says, how then can we call on him that they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those bringing good news. But not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And then here's the key verse, verse 17. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Jesus. The message of Jesus, the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing our hearts and dividing us. The very breath of God spoken to us through these human authors as the Spirit led them to write. Again, the very word of God, it convicts us of our sin, of our need for a Savior, and that that Savior is simply Jesus. The Holy Spirit works in our lives as we hear this good news of Jesus, this message about Christ. The Holy Spirit works in us and draws us to Him. Jesus said no one can come to Him unless they're drawn by the Father. The Spirit must work. The Spirit works through the message of Jesus, opening up blinded eyes and softening hardened hearts. The Spirit, through the message of Christ, leads us to repent of our sins, to turn away from our old ways. I love verse 17. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Jesus. That's simply the gospel, the good news of Jesus. You cannot come to faith. You could never live full of faith until you first find faith, and that comes from the good news of Jesus. So what is the good news of Jesus? Well, it's simple. It begins with bad news, and the bad news is that the Scripture teaches that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, His perfection. Anything outside of God's absolute perfection is sin. The Bible says that all of us have done that. We have all sinned. One time or a million times, it doesn't matter. We've all sinned. And then the Bible explains that the penalty for our sin is death. We've earned death, all of us. That's the bad news. It's just a simple fact. The Bible doesn't stop with that the wages of sin or death is death, but it goes on and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The good news is that in our rebellion, in our sin, in our separation from a holy and perfect God, at the right moment in history, Jesus left the glory of heaven. He came down to earth, born of a virgin, and Jesus walked on the earth. He lived on the earth as a fully God and fully man. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And again, at exactly the right moment in history, Jesus willingly went to the cross. And there on Calvary's cross, Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, gave His life, paying the sin debt that we all owed. And they buried Him in a tomb, and it was only a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead back to life. He walked on the earth, and He's ascended back up to heaven from which He came. And now, the good news is that anyone that will simply put their faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone can be saved. And like Jesus, we conquer sin and death and hell forever, and we will get to rule and reign in glory with Him forever and ever. That's the good news. That's the really, really good news. To live a life full of faith, we have to find faith, and that comes through the good news of Jesus being spoken to you. You might be here today hearing this for the very first time. That's good, good news, that God didn't just talk about how much He loves us. He proved it. Even when we were dead in our sin, He sent Jesus to come and save us and set us free, to bring us back to Him. As we hear this good news, this message of Jesus, the Holy Spirit works in our lives and draws us to Him. Romans 10:9, a couple verses before the ones we just read, tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, some of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, rightfully so, tell us that by God's grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that we can't brag about what we did, that we saved ourselves. Our faith is the key that unlocks God's grace, His unmerited favor on us and in our lives. So as we look at a life full of faith, first we realize we have to find faith through the message of Jesus, putting our faith in complete trust in Jesus, the resurrected Savior. That's how we find our faith. Once we do, what do we do with it? How do we live with our faith? We live a life full of faith, and we're going to be in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Did I say James chapter 1? Yeah, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is incredible. The half-brother of Jesus writing this book of unbelievable, proverbial, New Testament, New Covenant living for believers. He tells us in verse 2 some unbelievable words. He says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." So this last winter, some of you snowbirds have shared with me your disdain for winter, your dislike of cold temperatures and snow, and we're new enough, maybe in a few years or bunch of years or whatever, we won't like it as much, but we love winter. We still really do. I love the peace and serenity. I love the outdoor activities. But this winter was weird. We got such little snowfall. It wasn't a great year for skiing, and it definitely wasn't a good year for snowshoeing. I never put snowshoes on. I guess when we got the first like half inch, I put them on just to take a picture. But that was like it. Never needed them again. So this winter was an odd winter. And I know me personally, I kind of took it as just a way of being lazy. And I sat around a lot. And I didn't do a bunch. I didn't ski really. And I didn't snowshoe. I didn't do much. And consequently, that's not good for the old waistline. It's not good, especially when you love custard. It's not a good recipe there. And so I've undertaken a little bit of a health journey here. I've done this before. It's not my first time, unfortunately. But I've made a conscious decision to get a lot more active and to eat a lot healthier, to do more than sit and to eat less and eat better food. And consequently, I feel a whole lot better. And I mean, the nice weather certainly makes it easier to do more. Just the long days, it's wonderful. But then as you start to feel a little better, then you want to eat better and do more, which makes you feel better. And then you want to eat better and do more. And it's this vicious cycle, either for the good or for the bad. And right now, it's good. This long, lazy winter caused some problems. As we sit around, as we are lazy, our muscles atrophy. They get useless. They aren't doing what they are supposed to do. We have to get up and move and stay active. One of our dear brothers in this church family is 82 years old, and he shared with me he's already has 1,200 miles on his bicycle this spring. So what are you waiting for, brothers and sisters? Get out there and move. 5,000 miles a year at 80 plus years of age. The most healthy, active people are the most healthy and active people. Well, it's the exact same with our faith life. Our health, our physical health is so directly linked to our faith, and the example of an active life physically is the same example for us. With our faith, we have to live in faith and use our faith and grow in our faith. And my fear is that many people throughout the American church have simply used Jesus as a get-out-of-hell free card. Yeah, I'll say yes to Jesus, and then I don't have to face hell. Yes, I'm saved. But that's about as far as I'm willing to go. My fear and my heartache and my heartbreak is that we in America have missed a life of obedience, full of faith. My fear is that many have used Jesus to simply get out of hell and then live lukewarm toward him the rest of their days, living indifferent toward Jesus, toward the Spirit speaking in their lives. My fear is that many chose Jesus years ago and still today are immature in their faith, like babies needing someone to feed them milk. My fear is that many are living weak in their faith, easily tossed about by whatever bad thing happens in their lives, whether it's the loss of a family member or a pandemic around the world, weak and soft and immature. Well, the truth is that Jesus cares about you. He loves you and he wants you to know and love and serve him. Jesus cares about your faith. And Jesus desires you to live for him. In fact, Jesus deserves for us to live wholeheartedly for him. Jesus deserves his followers to live a life of radical obedience, full of faith, strong in faith, mature in our faith, impacting the world for him and for his kingdom's growth. God doesn't cause problems in the world. God doesn't cause these issues and struggles. Sin does. Sin and its horrible consequences cause death and sickness and viruses and pandemics and all those things. God doesn't cause that. Sin does. But see, God allows those things to happen because he cares about you and because he cares about your faith. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. After every difficulty in my life, when I'm in the valley, it's tough, and I'm guilty of weak faith and suffering and struggling in the valleys, those difficult times. I'm guilty of just waffling and soft faith, and somehow miraculously God sees me through these difficult times. And when I get to the other side and back to the hill, maybe to the next mountaintop, I can look back at that difficulty that I just faced. And every single time, I can see how God used that to grow me, to mature me, to develop me as a man of God, as a follower of his. I can see how God used those tough times to make me stronger in my faith, to make me more mature and less driven by the winds. Every time, God grew my faith. Stronger and stronger, year after year, more able to serve him, to bring him glory, to do what he wants as a mature follower of Jesus. It's easy to live full of faith when we're on the mountaintops. It's difficult when we're in the valleys. For those of you that were here last week or listened online, stop stressing. Stop stressing. Stop worrying. Trust in the Lord. Turn to him in prayer and petition. Let your request be made known to him. We have to find faith first, and then you and I are called to live full of faith no matter what we face, because see, simply it grows us and matures us that we are more able to look like Jesus, to live for Jesus, to turn back the darkness in Ely and all over the world as our faith grows through our trials. As our endurance increases, we look more and more like Jesus. Find faith, live full of faith, and even better than that is finishing full of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be in verses 6 and 7, if you have a copy and want to follow along. Paul writes to his dear brother from prison as Timothy's pastoring and struggling, and Paul's pouring into him from prison. Paul writes these incredible words. He writes to Timothy and us today. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing." Some amazing words from an amazing man of God as Paul again writes this from prison. He knew his days were numbered. He was about to be killed because of his faith and his service for Jesus. And he writes to Timothy and us, encouraging us, reminding us of the life that he lived. See, Paul modeled what it was like to live as a man full of faith, following after Jesus no matter the cost. Paul modeled what it was like to live a life full of faith, suffering for Jesus, serving Jesus no matter the cost. Because on the road to Damascus, the road to Emmaus, Paul was changed. The road to Damascus, when Paul was radically changed by Jesus, Jesus spoke to him and absolutely made Paul brand new from the inside out. And then Paul lived and demonstrated a life where absolutely nothing would stop him from sharing the love of Jesus with anyone, Jews, but especially the Gentiles. Nothing, no beating, no flogging, no imprisonment, no shipwreck could stop Paul from telling people about Jesus, finishing full of faith, finishing strong. And look at the lasting legacy that Paul left for us, writing a large portion of the New Testament. Look at the legacy that Paul left behind as he found faith, lived full of faith, and then sought to finish strong, to finish full of faith. And you might be sitting here saying, "Well, yeah, Pastor, but that's Paul. I mean, that's Paul. I'm just a regular person." Let me tell you, Paul put his cloak on one arm at a time. Paul also was a regular person. God used him in a huge way, but he was just a human. He was just a guy. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher, but Jesus changed him in a radical way. And then used him to launch the New Testament church. We're here today primarily, partly responsible because of what Paul did as he lived absolutely full of faith. He found his faith, he lived full of faith, and he finished full of faith. So I guess the question that we have to then ask is, what about us? Can you and I do the same thing? Can we find our faith and live lives in the midst of difficulties full of faith? And can we finish strong? Can we fight that good fight and leave a lasting legacy for our family as they see the value that we put on our Savior? And the answer is yes. What happens if we do? What happens if we live our lives full of faith? We finish full of faith. It's an amazing result. If we can find a way to put our faith in Jesus and live full of faith, we absolutely never have to fear again. Never have to struggle with anxiety again. We never have to worry about depression or discouragement or defeat again, because we're living strong, full of faith in a Savior that already defeated all of those things for us. If you're here this morning, or you're watching online in the future, and you struggle with anger, you don't have to live that way anymore. If you're here and you're struggling with unforgiveness in your heart, or negativity, or bitterness, the truth is that Jesus already won that victory. A life marked, full of faith, we don't have to live that way any longer. I love verse 8. It gives us such a glimpse of what Paul spoke about and what true believers have to look forward to in the future. Verse 8, he writes, "There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day." Paul knew that his life, full of faith and finishing strong, full of faith, that he was going to receive a crown of righteousness from Jesus himself. And Paul longed for that day and looked forward to that day. But see, that crown that Paul spoke of, it's not just for him. He says, "And not only me, but to all those who have loved Jesus' appearing." One day, brother and sister, you and I will kneel before the King of all kings, and Jesus himself will place on our heads a crown of righteousness. And then we will rule with him together as kings and queens for all of eternity. Find saving faith in Jesus through the good news of Jesus. Live our lives full of faith. And then no matter what we face, even at the end, as we know our time draws near, finish full of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It's known as the faith chapter. Chapter 12 has some amazing words. As we wrap up that entire chapter on the heroes of faith and all the things that the heroes had done and how it had just changed and impacted the world throughout the ages, chapter 12 begins with, "Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us." You and I are called to run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sometimes right now, life is tough, and life is difficult, and it seems like all hell is breaking loose all around us and all over this country, and will it ever end, and what's our hope? And it can be easy to lose heart and lose faith. You and I, brother and sister, we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. He has gone to the cross, he's been buried, and he's been raised back to life, and now, through our faith in him, we have absolutely nothing to fear. Brother and sister, live full of faith. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word and how it can truly change our lives. Lord, I pray for each one of us to receive your Spirit in abundance to lead us to live a life absolutely bursting with faith. that others around us can see our heart and how we handle difficulties, and then come to their own saving faith in you. Lord, use us for your glory. Use us to advance your kingdom. And Lord, may you be so high and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So